With me on the phone is Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, how are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Good to have you with us. The Senate, of course, passed a budget proposal over the weekend by the thinnest of margins. No Republicans supported it. Four Democrats, I believe, also voted against it, all of whom are up for re-election next year, including our own Mark Pryor. A couple of things. The Senate passing a budget is an important accomplishment. I'd like you to comment on that and then on why you could not support it.
Well, it is an important accomplishment. This was the first time in 4 years that the Senate has passed a budget. And so in doing so, there was really a good week-long discussion about the direction we should take the country, whether you increase taxes, don't increase taxes, do you start throttling back significantly on the spending, again, trying to get our fiscal house in order. So both sides, individuals and the parties, were able to make their case for the direction forward. But I think it was a good step in the right direction. The other thing that we did recently in the last week or so was pass a continuing resolution which funded the rest of the government, and that was important to get it funded and so that they'll know what kind of levels of spending they'll have for the next several months, but also it gave flexibility. We're hearing a lot about the sequestration right now. The sequestration makes it where they had to cut all of the line items in their budget, a certain percentage. This allows them to shuffle their money around and get rid of the things that need to be gotten rid of, protect the things that, the vital functions that they have to maintain.
Yeah, that's what I was going to add. Does this continuing resolution kind of do away with the sequester cuts or just reshuffle them?
No, it actually keeps the sequester cuts. But the sequester had it's a mechanism that if you were cutting back, it's your business or a household was cutting back, what it did was make you cut back in every line item mm-hmm. of the budget. What this said was you've got the flexibility now to shuffle around, some things you can do without, kind of move your money around and protect the vital components. But the sequester was maintained in the continuing resolution, and then also it was maintained in the Senate budget. Now, what they did in the Senate budget was, and this is why I voted against it, the cuts were maintained, but to offset the cuts, they raised taxes an equivalent amount. Well, we've actually got to have real cuts. We can't continue the taxing and spending. So as a result, cuts were maintained, but they increased taxes to pay for that. And the amount of spending is about the same as we've got right now. And so at the end of the day, 10 years later, you'd have a significant increase in the debt of several trillion dollars.
So let me make sure I understand. The CR basically said that you still have to cut the same amount, but it gave the government agencies flexibility on
yes.
deciding where those cuts came.
Yes, exactly.
Cuts were made. Okay.
So if in a household, if you had to make cuts, you don't cut the electricity and your gasoline bill and things like that down the line, and that's kind of how the sequester worked, was to cut everything.
Okay.
Again, giving the flexibility to shift things around.
Okay. Yeah. Associated with the household budget, you can buy the ramen noodles instead of the steak. So
exactly. That's exactly right.
All right. Now, Paul Ryan's budget plan passed the House. Are you more supportive of that?
Well, I voted for it. There's things in there that you like, and there's things in there that you don't like. And both of these budgets are templates. The good thing is you're actually, putting something out there. One of the problems that we've had in the past is in order to negotiate, both sides have to put their cards on the table. And so, the House passed a budget with Paul Ryan. The good thing is it actually balances the budget in 10 years. And so that's the direction that we need to take is, again, reducing spending without raising taxes significantly. We just had this $620 billion tax increase the first of the year on the upper brackets. The 2% withholding came back. You're going to have over $1 trillion worth of tax increases with Obamacare next year. So it's pretty onerous right now, and we certainly don't need to add to that burden.
Well, what are some of the key spending cuts that you feel are needed?
Well, we've got a significant decrease in spending in defense. In fact, some would argue too much. The continuing resolution In fact, I would argue too much. The continuing resolution puts some of that money back. But I think we're literally going to have to go through in the sequestration. These significant cuts to the discretionary spending are going to force the agencies to go in and look at everything that they're doing. And, if it's something that is not in the public interest and of necessity, then it's going to be eliminated. So we're going to be working with the agencies to try and help them identify those things. And then also, if perhaps there's some areas that there's too much, one area that we actually gave back and protected was the inspection by meat packers, not meat packers, the poultry inspectors, the meat inspectors, things like that. Because if they didn't show up for work, then literally you'd have many, many people, that would have to go home and be furloughed at the local factories. So those are things. You just have to use common sense. But we'll be working with the agencies to try and help them get rid of the things we need to get rid of.
And you mentioned the poultry industry. There could be possibly compromises in food safety as a result of these cuts.
Well, there could have been, but again, we specifically in the continuing resolution made it such that the funding would be available for them.
Right.
And so those are the areas. You're right. You know, if you didn't do that, then you'd either perhaps have a compromise in food safety, or the plants themselves would have to shut down when the inspectors weren't there. And again, that would really, it's not fair to the hardworking men and women that staff those. They didn't create this problem.
Now, one of the criticisms of the Ryan budget is that the critics say that the spending cuts are concentrated too much on programs for the poor. How do you respond to that, and are there places that we can cut that don't hurt people who are working and struggling to get by?
Well, one of the things we've really worked hard to do is pass a farm bill. Of the farm bill, about $200 billion of the $1 trillion bill, $1 trillion over 10 years, $200 billion actually has something to do with farmers and farm programs. The rest, $800 billion, is food stamps and things like that. And there's tremendous fraud in those programs. I'm a co-chair of the Hunger Caucus, been very involved in this for many, many years. And for those that are without, we need to protect, we need to help. But everyone agrees that there is a lot of fraud. There's a lot of bilking of the system by playing. The states play games that they will enroll. They will actually pay to have a person enrolled into a program. Maybe give them a dollar benefit, and then all of a sudden they get all of these other benefits. So, we really need to look hard at that. Of the $800 billion, we were only able to identify $4 billion. That could be cut. And that's just not, again, we don't want to cut services that are vitally needed, but I guarantee you there's significant waste in that $800 billion. So there's a lot of people don't feel like, you should cut it all. And again, the measure is not how much money you spend on a program. The measure should be how effective it is. And so, like I say, the Ryan budget, you can look at and in some areas, perhaps he does go too far. Other areas, maybe not far enough. But it is a template. It is a discussion point. And most importantly, it really does significantly start to get our fiscal house back in order. The same is true of the proposal that was, proposed by Harry Reid, only it's very different in the sense of significantly increasing, raising taxes, and then just simply refusing to not reduce spending.
So I think the big question is, how do you weed out the fraud without, cutting people who actually need the service?
No, that's exactly right. And same is true of Medicare and Social Security. Those are programs that again, I'm committed to protecting and securing. But it's okay to get rid of everybody agrees that there's probably about 10% of those programs that are waste and fraud. You see the commercials come in and, we'll fix it where you get this or that free, and again, bilking the system sometimes with things that you don't need. We all hear stories about that, but you're exactly right. The key is you know, making sure that those that are in need, those that are entitled to the service are being provided it, but, you know, doing away with those that are abusing the system.
Another criticism of the Republican budget in the House is that it fundamentally changes Medicare. Democrats say it guts the program, while Republicans say it protects and strengthens it. How would this plan protect and strengthen Medicare?
Well, what it does, you know, when you look at the Medicare program now, my wife and I, when we're 62 years old, we'll contribute about $110,000 into the program. We'll get over $350,000 in return. That doesn't work, you know, when you almost have a 3-to-1, you know, give a dollar and get $3 back. It simply doesn't work. So what Congressman Ryan's doing is trying to, you know, look at the infrastructure and say, how can we shore this up? You know, how can we make it so that it will be good not only for seniors now, and it's very important that, that those that are listening understand that, that seniors that are on the program now are in good shape. You know, they don't have to worry. But the next generation, for them to have a benefit and it be there, the numbers simply don't add up. So what he's trying to do is really say, if you want to continue, you know, in the present program, you could do that. If you want to go to a premium support program where you're taken care of in private insurance, and then the government, you know, supports the private insurance and you know, helps contribute very significantly to the premiums, that that would be another way to go. Right now, we've got a huge problem, you know, across the state of Arkansas, across the country. I'm an optometrist and eye doctor by training, and you know, used to probably 70% of my patients were Medicare patients. What you're finding is that many physicians, many healthcare providers are simply not taking the program anymore. We're having rationing right now because the reimbursement to the providers is getting so low that they simply are saying, you know, we're just not going to do it anymore. And so it's getting very difficult for people that are getting into Medicare to find a Medicare provider.
Hmm. Well, Saturday was the three-year anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, now referred to by both supporters and opponents as Obamacare. Democrats can cite stories of people who've been helped by the health care law, and Republicans are still working to see this repealed. Tell us what the efforts are from your perspective.
Well, I think the healthcare law is probably as unpopular now as it ever was. Instead of gaining acceptance through the years, it's not. And the result is that it's unworkable. We're going to see a significant tax increase, $1 trillion, you know, spread out over various things. Next year, when you look at insurance premiums, they've risen dramatically as a result of this. I was with a group of teachers not too long ago. They said that their rates had gone up about 20%. That's not uncommon at all through business. So the problem right now, when you survey businesses as to why they're not hiring, Obamacare is at the top of the list because of the uncertainty as to how much an employee is going to cost through because of the health care benefits. So it's not workable. There are some good things about it. It shouldn't be that you lose your job and you lose your insurance. Insurance should be portable. You shouldn't have to worry about pre-existing conditions with insurance. So those are the good things. But the mechanism, what they've basically done is taken a failed system, and the system that it's trying to replace does not work well. But instead of reforming it, they've essentially just added a whole bunch more patients to it. And so you have an even bigger system that's not working. Somebody's got to pay for that, and that's going to be the people of Arkansas and the people of America.
I've just got a couple of minutes left. People in areas like ours are still very concerned about rural post offices and Saturday mail delivery. Are these cuts in the Postal Service cuts that are inevitable?
I think we'll protect Saturday delivery for a while so that we, you know, make sure that that's the appropriate thing to do. I'm very concerned about businesses, you know, that depend on the Saturday mail delivery. I'm also very concerned about the rural post offices in many areas where you have a situation where you have elderly living there that sometimes understand the technology. So this is the way that they communicate. They also get their prescription medicines and, you know, things like that. So we're really trying to help the post office figure out how to reinvent itself. My state director always tells me to remind people that when they inquire about the post office concerned about it, that almost all of the inquiries we get, it's either by somebody on their cell phone or somebody emailing us. You know, nobody's writing us a letter about the post office. And so it's just we're moving into a different phase. The post office, though, is vital. It's something that's going to be around in a form. But we do have to figure out, with the new technology, how can we help them be successful? And then again, make sure that even if we're losing money in areas that's, you know, government provides services. And so in these areas that need the post office because of the rural populations and things, certainly it's going to be there for them.
All right. We're out of time. Senator John Bozeman, thanks for joining us today.